And I want to look at verses 1 through 8 this afternoon. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word this afternoon and help us to understand the truths that are contained within it. And Lord, help us to see the importance of being there to hear and respond to the questions that people have. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting thing as you look at the text that we just read this morning and then the one that we read now. Jesus is interacting with the Jews, it said this morning, which whenever, as I mentioned this morning, whenever it refers to the Jews, it's referring to the religious leadership, not the Jewish people. You have to check the context, but 90% of the time when it says the Jews, that's what it's referring to. And that's what it's referring to this morning. They really had no desire to be drawn to Jesus. They had a desire to get back at him for what he had done in disrupting everything in the temple. Well, there's one Pharisee, and he's a leader amongst the Jews, so he's on the Sanhedrin, and that's Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. It's interesting that he comes to him by night. The scripture doesn't give us a specific reason, but when one looks at the context of what has just happened and transpired at the temple, where Jesus has caused quite a stir and an uproar amongst the leadership of the Jewish community, and yet God is working on Nicodemus's heart. Nicodemus truly wants to know the truth. There are Jewish people, even in the leadership, in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that do desire to know who is this man and is he the Messiah. And Nicodemus is one of these. We know that Nicodemus, that God worked in Nicodemus' heart, and he did become a follower, because later on in the Gospels you discover that Nicodemus was there at the time that Jesus was crucified and also was instrumental in helping to with, and I just had a mental block, of the man that gave his grave for Jesus to be buried in helping him to get that arrangement made. And so we see that Nicodemus is coming to the Lord because he wants to know. But he also evidently doesn't want everybody to see him coming to talk to Jesus. There are a lot of people that are that way with us too. God may be working in their hearts, but there's a lot of pressure on them because they're of family, because of situations, because of work, because of whatever, that they may come as Nicodemus does, the one who wants to become the undercover disciple. But we're going to see that there are no undercover disciples for Jesus. And Nicodemus is going to have to make decisions as Jesus lays out the truth before him and concerning what it is to be saved. It says that he came to him and he responds to him and he tells him why he's come. He says, Rabbi, and he calls Jesus master or teacher, is what rabbi means. And so he's acknowledging that Jesus is really over him, and that's quite a statement for someone who is on the Sanhedrin. to call Jesus rabbi. It's not so much for the disciples to call Jesus rabbi, because in the Jewish religious community, they would really be under Jesus because he is a teacher. But those that are on the Sanhedrin aren't really acknowledging publicly that Jesus is a teacher. And so they would not really call him rabbi. So that already tells you that Nicodemus' heart is different than some of his colleagues. And Nicodemus is being drawn to Jesus, and he sees that there is something totally different about him. And he explains what he is seeing. He says, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God." Now, this is an interesting statement, too. He says in the plural, "we." And who would he be identifying with? Well, again, he is coming as a someone who is a Jewish leader, someone who is a Pharisee. So he would be identifying with other Pharisees who are seeing that there is something different about Jesus. And throughout the New Testament, you see that they are constantly seeing, and they don't know how to handle or deal with Jesus if they're not going to accept him as Messiah, because everything about him points to the fact he is Messiah. And so Nicodemus says, "We see that you have to be come from God." And why? And this is an interesting statement that he makes here. "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, what was the big thing that they were asking Jesus to do this morning? Signs and wonders, signs and miracles. "If you just do a few miracles for us, Jesus, then we'll believe and we'll see by what authority you're coming." Well, Nicodemus, he states to Jesus that they already know what authority he has sent him. He's coming with the authority of God. Why? Because of the miracles that he's doing. And this is very interesting, because if you look at some of the prophecies dealing with the coming Messiah, he would do miracles that no one else could do. Are miracles something that had never been happened before in the nation of Israel? The answer is no. We alluded to a number of things that God had done for the nation of Israel and doing miracles at the time of Moses, delivering them from the land. At the time of Elijah, there were miracles done. At the time of Elisha, there were even more miracles done. And we see that miracles are something that Israel had always seen, because God had been there revealing himself to them. He had revealed miracles on a national scale on more than one occasion. When he delivered the nation of Israel during the time of Hezekiah, it was miraculous delivery. When he delivered the nation of Israel during the time starts with a J. This is really bad when you get to be 60. he delivered the nation of Israel on more than one occasion. And he delivered them miraculously. So the nation of Israel had seen the miracles of God. But the thing is, prophets had foretold about Jesus that there were certain miracles that only the Messiah would do. John, later on, will be looking at some of those miracles that are only messianic miracles that pointed to him. I'll just give you one. You remember there's a time where Jesus is asked to cast a demon out of this one who is a deaf and dumb. He can't hear and he can't speak. And the rabbis, those who were followers of God and were truly believers in God, God would use them at times to cast out demons. But they could not cast out a demon on someone who was deaf and dumb. In other words, they can't hear and can't speak. And yet Jesus commanded that demon to come out, and it came out because it had to respond to him. He was the Messiah. And the prophets had foretold that only the Messiah would be able to do that. That's one miracle. There are others that were messianic miracles that only the Messiah could do. We even saw one that pointed to the fact that he was creator at the Cana wedding feast. But so they saw that there was miracles, and they had to know, if they studied the scriptures, which the Pharisees were, if it would have been the Sadducees, if he would have been a Sadducee, he wouldn't have cared about the scriptures. But the Pharisees cared about the scriptures, it's just that they added to them. But the thing is, they did study them. And that's what made Jesus even more angry with the Pharisees than he was with the Sadducees, because they had a knowledge of the scripture and they proclaimed to be the literalists of their day. They would be the ones that would say, we need to preach the Bible and the Bible only. But then they'd add to the Bible. And then they would deny the authority of the Bible. And they would change and contort the Bible to meet their own needs. And that's what made Jesus so angry. Because they professed to be those that knew it. But he said, if you knew it, then you'd know it. And you'd do it. And so we see here that Nicodemus comes to him and he says, we know that you're from God because of the miracles you've done and are doing. And because he knows that, Jesus asks him something. And he doesn't let Nicodemus finish. He interjects and he says, verily, verily. Remember when we have the words verily, verily, truly, truly, listen, listen. This, what I'm going to tell you, is extremely important. It's something that's so important you need to grasp and you need to hear it right now. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now this is a truth that Nicodemus should know. If he is a master of the scriptures, he should know this truth. You can go back in the Old Testament, and we said this morning, you can see salvation is revealed in the Old Testament. The whole picture isn't given, but it's begun to be revealed. And what is concealed in the Old Testament is brought to light in the life of Christ in the New Testament. And we see that if you are a student of the Scriptures, as the Apostle Paul was, remember what did he say as we read in 1 Corinthians this morning? That Jesus would be crucified according to the Scriptures. That he'd be buried according to the Scriptures. And that he'd rise again from the dead according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures did the Apostle Paul study? The same ones Nicodemus studied. He studied the law, the prophets, and the poetry, what we call the Old Testament. That's what they had, and that was the Scriptures, and they were studying all of those things. And Paul said, I will prove to you, out of the Scriptures, out of what the Jewish recognizes as the Scriptures, they wouldn't recognize the New Testament. It wasn't even written when Jesus was, when this conversation was going on. And we see that he says, I can prove to you that Jesus is Messiah, out of the Scriptures. And he constantly did it when he went to the synagogues in these various cities. So Nicodemus should have known what Jesus is talking about here, because Jesus came that men could have spiritual life. And Nicodemus should have known that men need spiritual life. If they don't have spiritual life given to them by God, they're in trouble. We are doomed to an eternal hell because the judgment of God is upon us, and death is the only thing that will mark our existence. And so Nicodemus should have known this. Nicodemus comes and he hears Jesus say that, and his immediate response is, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Now, Nicodemus, we don't know how old he is. Evidently he's older, but it doesn't matter. If you're just born as a baby, how can you be reborn? Even if you're only 1 minute old, you've just come out of the womb, you can't go back in and come back out again. I mean, you probably surgically they could do it, but it wouldn't work real well. Because when birth occurs, you're no longer attached to the placenta. You're no longer attached to the umbilical cord. You're no longer drawing from your mother for oxygen. You're on your own. Before that, you're getting all the nutrients from your mother. You're getting all the oxygen from your mother. You're getting everything to sustain life from your mother. And how are you going to go back in and reattach everything? You can't. And especially, as Nicodemus says, if you're an old man, it's really impossible. So, but he's looking at it the same way that his fellow Pharisees and the Sadducees who confronted Jesus in this morning's message, that they were looking at coming to Jesus, purely from a physical standpoint, not looking at the spiritual aspects of it. And so Nicodemus comes and, I don't understand. How can you be born again? Now, in our culture, born again used to be, people used to understand what this meant, that it was spiritual birth, rebirth. But Satan loves to take words and phrases and give them twisted meanings. And so now you've got born again athletes, born again singers, born again actors. They're not Christians. They've just revitalized their career. Now, I want to show you a real danger in looking at things that way. You probably hear some, if you listen to a sports announcer, you'll hear him say something about somebody who had some type of severe injury and they had surgery and now they're back and they're at the top of the game again, and he'll go, he's got a born again career. He's born again as an athlete. What has Satan just done by doing that? He has totally destroyed the whole concept of what Jesus is presenting to Nicodemus. Jesus is talking about two births, a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And apart from having a spiritual birth, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care how many surgeries you've had as an athlete, and I don't care how many times you've revitalized your career, you are not a born-again athlete. You've got a revitalized career. You're able to do things that you once weren't able to do, and you're able to do them again. But the thing is, you're not spiritually transformed, at least to following God, by just having surgery on your arm. Maybe if you've got some strange religion that you belong to, which is, there are plenty of those today, they could say you're more religious because of it, but it doesn't get you any closer to the true God, nor does it get you to heaven. Nor does having anything else revitalized in your life. You see, Satan wants us to think that all we have to do, being spiritually, is just to revitalize yourself. That just like you have a surgery, just like you go back and take some more acting lessons, or just like you go and you're able to recapture some of your wealth and make some decent investments so that all of a sudden you can afford the things that you once couldn't afford. That has nothing to do with eternity, unless you're trusting in that, because then you're going to end up in hell. See, Jesus is talking here about two different concepts, physical and spiritual. Physical and spiritual. Nicodemus asked, can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, and again he uses the terms verily, verily. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if you have a King James Bible, you'll see that of is got a different font to it, because in the original text that isn't there. It's born of water and the Spirit is the way that it would read in the Greek. Now, what is he saying? There's much confusion over these words. I personally think that it's pretty evident, especially in light of what we're reading and what John is saying here, both here and what we're going to look at next Sunday in the last part of this chapter, that Jesus is talking about two different births. One by water, a physical birth that occurs, and every person comes into the world physically. There's only really two people in the history of the world that were not born physically by water, that is, being attached to a mother's womb in the placenta, and then you hear the term, my water's broke. That means birth is inevitable. You don't have a lot of time left. You better get prepared. Why? Because it's a sign that it's ready to come. The baby's ready to come. Well, every person except Adam and Eve experienced that, including Jesus when he came in the form of a man. Adam was taken and created out of the dust of the earth. It says that God created Adam and he breathed life into him. He didn't have a mother. He wasn't born the same way that all of his children were born. Neither was Eve, because Eve was taken. The Lord took a rib from the side of man, and he formed woman. And so neither Adam or Eve were born that way, but they hadn't sinned either. And then they did sin, and as part of the curse, every person that was born after them was born with a sin nature. But Jesus says every person is born physically. Every person is born by water. Every person is born physically. Everyone that's ever lived on the earth has been born. They had a beginning. But he said there's a second birth, and that is by the Spirit. And that is a transformation that occurs in the life of a person where they become a new creature in Christ. And so there is a second birth in that this person is no longer the person he once was. You can look and you can see as we've been going through Genesis and the life of Jacob, there's a transformation that occurs in Jacob's life. When you look at it and study it, that it's a gradual transformation. Jacob always had more spiritual desires than his brother Esau, but he was drawn closer to the Lord until the end of Jacob's life. Jacob has an understanding of God, and he's walking with God, and his name is changed from Jacob to Israel. And God changes his name, just like he changed his grandfather's name from Abram to Abraham. There's a birth, a transformation, a difference in the person's life. They become a different person. Why? Because they've repented and turned from the way they were going, and they're now walking with God. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because if one is not born of the Spirit, one is not God's child." The Apostle Paul emphasizes this in his letters to the church over and over again about the fact that we are different. When you come to Christ and you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. You're a different person. You're a different creature. If you can think back to the way you once were, people say, well, you know, I did this sin and it bothers me so much. Do you know why it bothers you so much? If you're a Christian, it should bother you so much. Why? Because we have come against the one who has redeemed us and transformed us and made us a new creature. And it's his Spirit convicting us of our need to confess that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. He will do that, but we need to confess it and turn to him, even as a believer. And so we see here that Jesus tells him this, that you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you become my child, unless you've been born by the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And this is, remember, the Hebrew way of teaching is to take the same concept and reintroduce it and state it again. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He said, okay, you need to be born of water and the Spirit. Now, that which is born of flesh is flesh. So, that which is born of, he could have used the term, that which is born of Adam is Adam. That which is born of God's Spirit is of God's Spirit. They're two different families. They're two different births. He says, that was born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. In other words, you shouldn't be standing in amazement and can't comprehend what I'm saying. Why? Because he's a teacher in Israel. He should know this. He's the one that's supposed to be teaching the rest of the nation this truth. You need to be looking for the Messiah, the one who's going to deliver us from our sin, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit, and we cannot enter into the kingdom of God until we have been born by the Spirit, and we can't be born by the Spirit till the Messiah comes to pay our sins. He should have known this. But instead, he's marveling. He can't figure it out. And Jesus is saying to him, listen. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. The church needs to grasp this concept again, because they want to come and really encourage the flesh so they can get people to come and so that you don't offend people. And Jesus is saying that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So if you're truly my child, you're truly following me, you need to be emphasizing your walk with the, in the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, the wind is going to go where it goes. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear the sound of the wind, but you can't see it. You don't, if when you have these winds blowing from the north, you can't really see the air moving. None of us have micro, microscopes for eyes that we can look at electrons and neutrons as they're traveling through the air. We don't have that. So we can't see it moving. We hear it, we feel it, and we know it's there, but we can't see it. So Jesus says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and we also can't control it. There's some times where you want to control the wind. I'm sure that when you've got a raging forest fire and is bearing down on your house, and you're east of the fire and you've got a real strong west wind, you're like, oh, stop wind, stop, turn around and blow the other way. But nobody can do that. Sometimes one listens to the news and you almost, if it wasn't so sad, you'd have to chuckle when these people are talking about the wind and we've got to be able to control this fire and stuff, and yet they can't control the wind, they can't bring the rain, they can't stop the floods, they can't stop the hurricane. I mean, you listen to this hurricanes, what are people to do? All they can do is prepare, because you can't turn the hurricane around. They're not going to make the hurricane miss Puerto Rico. Can't do it. All they can do is prepare for the brunt of it. But to listen to some of the weathermen, you'd think that they could somehow, they got all these models and, oh, we can, maybe it'll go over here, maybe it'll go. Well, you can't make it go anywhere. It's going to go where God sends it. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. What is he saying? So if you just see a bunch of people walking down the street, and you don't hear them talk, you don't see them do anything, it's just a bunch of people walking down the street, can you know who's a Christian and who's not a Christian? No, they're all human. They're all the human race. They're all men and women. But within that, some are Christians and some are not Christians. How do they become Christians? The Spirit of God worked upon their heart and they responded to the Spirit of God. They received Jesus into their life. They're made a new creature in Christ. Do they look different because they're new? Well, sometimes they do, because maybe they dressed very bizarre before and now they're dressing modestly. And so you can tell by some of the fruit that's being born in their life. But the thing is, what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you can't look at people on the outside. It's not the same as a physical birth. Physical birth, you look at the baby, and what are the first... I chuckle at this. People will say, I am so ugly. I hate the way I look. Oh, I hate my nose. I hate my hair. I hate everything about me. And then they have a baby. Don't you think they look like me? Do they look like me or do they look like their mom? And it's like, what, do you want to curse your child? You just got done saying how ugly you were. But that's what we do as parents. Well, who do they look like? Because they're physically born. It's like my daughters. It's amazing. Sometimes they look like me. Sometimes they look like their mom. Why? Because they've got genetics from both of us. And some of their expressions are more close to mine. Some of them are more close to their mother's. And some things they say are more close to me and some to the mother. And the thing is, so they, you can physically see people. I've got this one family of cousins, and their name is Bergie. And every time you see one, oh, there's a Bergie, there's a Bergie, there's a Bergie. You can tell they're Bergies because they all look alike. But the thing is, they're all humans and they're all people. And what Jesus is telling him is, Nicodemus, is with the spiritual life, it's not like being physically born. Physically born, you see a baby. It may look like its parents. It's going to have some of the same characteristics as they have. But spiritually, it's different. Because you're born by the Spirit of God. And you no longer, it's not physical characteristics, it's spiritual characteristics that one possesses. And you reflect the one who is your father in your life. And so the second birth has nothing to do with what you look at like on the outside physically, but it has everything to do with the transformation that's occurred within your heart, that is your will, your emotions, your mind, and your walk with the Lord. And that your soul now is belonging to God, and you're walking with Him. And that's what Jesus is teaching him here. And He's showing to him. There's a lot of people that don't get this today. And they, in our culture, a lot of times it's not taught properly the second birth. It's just say a prayer and you're in. No, that doesn't get you anywhere. Otherwise, all we'd have to do is hand out prayers and have people say prayers. Now, can they say a prayer as long as it's coming from their heart and they mean it? Yeah, that can be a prayer that they can call on the Lord and that I repent of my sins, I confess my sins, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Will you come into my heart, Lord Jesus? And if it's meant, if it's real, to just have somebody, my daughter, just to share this in closing, my daughter, when they were at home, we had some friends and they had girls that were the same age as mine and they were strong Roman Catholic. And especially my oldest daughter, would witness to her friend all the time. But her friend was very, very Roman Catholic and she was trusting in Roman Catholicism. She wasn't trusting in Jesus. Well, one night they had a sleepover. My daughter and there was either four or five girls that were all the same age at the homeschool group. And they all had a sleepover at one of the families. And at this sleepover, the other three girls, apart from my daughter, got this Catholic girl to pray a prayer. And now they were all excited because now she's a Christian. But we were having Bible studies with my daughters were having a Bible study with their daughters, and my wife and I were having a Bible study with their mother once a week. And as we were having this Bible study, my daughter saw no difference in what she believed and what she was putting her trust and hope in. She wasn't any different. She hadn't been born again spiritually. She was still trusting in all the Roman Catholicism. And so she went to her friends and she said, she's not a Christian. She doesn't understand it. She hasn't received Jesus. Oh, but she prayed a prayer. It doesn't matter. The new birth hadn't occurred. She wasn't born again. She wasn't transformed by the power of God's Spirit. There's no life there. She's still trusting in the Mass and everything else. So you're going to find that because people don't have a proper understanding. There needs to be a difference. There needs to be a transformation. And what Jesus is saying is there needs to be a second birth, a spiritual birth that occurs where there is a difference in the person's life. Because they've been born again.